Amen. Mark chapter 1. Our text really this morning consists of three verses. Verse 29. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. It's interesting. You're studying God's Word. You will not go very far in Scripture before you find the erroneous teachings of the Church of Rome exposed. And here in the verses before us, we see one of those errors exposed. For you see, Rome, first of all, claims that Peter was the first pope, that the church is built on him. Peter's name means a stone. Christ is a rock. I'd rather build a house on a rock than on a stone. Peter is not the head of the church. Christ is. And here we have another error. Rome claims that Peter was the first pope, and they teach that popes and priests are never to marry. Yet here we are told that Peter was married. Here's the so-called first pope, and he's married. He has a mother-in-law. Now it appears, according to the words of the Apostle Paul, that Peter's wife had accompanied him during the days that he served the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. And here we read in verse 5. Have ye not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Cephas was Paul, or it was Peter. And the reference here is to the apostles being married, and Paul singles out Peter and the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. May they not lead about a wife? Paul here tells us Peter led about a wife. So no doubt Peter was a married man, contrary to what Rome would want you to believe. So how good it is to have the Scriptures of truth, to study them and see these errors exposed by the truth of God's holy word. God's word is truth. Well, as we continue our study in the life of a man called Peter. Today we want to look at Christ as he entered into the home of Peter. First of all, we want to consider the Savior in Peter's home. The home was that of Peter and his brother Andrew. And Peter's mother-in-law lived with them. We know that from verse 29. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. So the house belonged to Simon and Andrew, and the Lord was also accompanied by James and John. And it is evident also that Peter's mother-in-law lived in the house as well. Peter and Andrew's house, and when the Lord came into the house, there was Peter's mother-in-law. So you get the picture of those who dwelt in this house. Regarding the Savior in Peter's home, I want you to notice how Peter worshipped the Savior. When the Sabbath day dawned, as I've already pointed out, the Lord Jesus wasted no time in entering the place of worship in Capernaum. I read that in verse 21, and he went on to Capernaum straightway on the Sabbath day. He entered into the synagogue and taught. And all who were in attendance sat under him and listened to the teaching ministry of Christ. Verse 30, 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. Among those in attendance were four of the Lord's disciples: Peter and Andrew, and there James and John. They had gone there to that place of worship and to sit under the teaching and the preaching ministry of their master, the one who had called them to be fishers of men. And no doubt they, along with the others who were present in that place of worship, were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 22. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. Verse 22. And what a blessing it must have been to sit under the ministry of one of whom it was said elsewhere, never man spake like this man. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Over the years, we may hear the preaching of great men. I think of our late moderator, Dr. Paisley. What a mighty preacher he was. Remember going to Windsor Avenue Baptist Church in Lurgan and sitting under the preaching of W.P. Moore. And what preaching there was there. In the early 20s and 30s and 40s, the people of Belfast flocked to the Ulster Hall to listen to the preaching of W.P. Nicholson. Now, I remember my grandmother going there, telling me all about Mr. Nicholson's preaching. He said before, the men in the shipyard The shipyard that built the Titanic, by the way. The men in the shipyard at closing time, they would walk from the shipyard to the Ulster Hall just in their overalls. And packed out the Ulster Hall just to hear Nicholson preach. Dorian had the privilege of listening to Willie Mullen preach in Windsor Avenue Baptist Church in Ireland. Oh, I loved to listen to him preach. And so we have seen great and heard great preachers over the years. But here of this preacher, it was said, never man spake like this man. Well, that was the preaching that Peter and the others heard that day. Now we, of course, are not able to worship in a place where Christ is preaching. No. But what we desire and what we look out for is a place where Christ is preached. That's what we want. We can't sit under the preaching of the Lord Himself. But we can go to a place where Christ is preached. Oh, pity that people. They go to their places of worship and where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is hardly even mentioned. Our late sister Mrs. Dopel told me that one day at that door. They used to attend the family, a church in Sunderland. And she told me, she says, you know, the pastor would open the Bible and he'd read from the Gospels. And she says, that's the only time he would have mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus, because it was in the scripture. But he never preached on Christ. He never preached Christ. No. They who love the Lord Jesus, they want to hear about him. They want the man in the pulpit to preach Christ, because they've gone to their place of worship on a Sabbath day to worship Christ, to hear about Christ, to be taught about Christ, to hear about his teachings, to hear about his temptations in the wilderness, to be told about his tears over Jerusalem, to be told about his torments in Calvary, and to learn about his triumphs, his triumphs over death, hell, and the grave. That's what we want. We want Christ preached. I know back in Ulster, they've been talking to people from different denominations, and they were grieved because of their minister happened to have been away on a holiday and returned home. They said, that's all they got. What kind of a holiday they have? Pretty pathetic, isn't it? No. We want to hear Christ preached. And John, or Peter, and James, John certainly experienced that day. They actually heard the man himself, Christ, preaching. And the verdict was, never man spake like this man. They said, what? He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So we have Peter worshipping the Savior. He's there in the synagogue with the others. Then I noticed Peter walked with the Savior. Look at verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Notice, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue. They. So that included Peter. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were in the synagogue. They had sat under the preaching of the Lord Jesus, and when the Lord Jesus finished preaching, they, that is Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and Christ. Christ was in their company. And so there you have the picture. You have the Lord and his finished preaching in the synagogue, and the four disciples leave the synagogue with Christ, and the five of them walk together to Peter's house. Notice, Peter didn't leave the Lord behind in the synagogue. No. He brought the Lord home with him. And here is an example for us to follow. Peter sets us an example. Upon leaving the place of worship, he brought the Savior home with him. That is, upon having Christ preached to us. Let's take today's service. We're dealing with the Lord Jesus, and by God's grace we seek to do that every Lord's Day. And you hear about Christ and what the Lord has given to me to preach about Christ. Now, tell me, would you leave Christ behind in the church and go home as though you had never heard about it at all? Peter brought the Lord home with him. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring the Lord home with us. All that we've heard about him, we want to bring it home with us. We don't leave it behind in the church. Yeah, we've heard a sermon, but we don't forget about the sermon when we walk out through the door. From what we have heard and been taught about the Lord Jesus, we bring it home with us. It's as if church isn't over when you walk out through the door. You can have church at home where you go over what you have heard and pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would apply what you've heard, apply it to your heart. Yeah, they brought the Lord home with them. No believer, having met our Savior through the preaching of his word, let us not leave him behind. No. Let's bring Christ home. Bring him home. Fellowship with him through what we have heard about him, what we've been taught about him. Think it over. Meditate upon it. But don't leave Christ behind. Peter worshiped the Savior along with the others in the synagogue. Peter walked with the Savior, walked with him to his house. Peter welcomed the Savior. For we are told, verse 29, forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. They entered in together. Now this was Peter's house along with Andrew. Now you'll find something in the Gospels. The Lord never entered into a house where he wasn't invited. Now, turn to Luke chapter 24. Here's a perfect example. Here we read about the Emmaus disciples. They had been leaving Jerusalem, they were cast down. A stranger drew near and walked with them and wanted to know why they were so sad. They said, "Have ye not heard? And they talked about the Lord, how he promised to rise the third day. And after they had unburdened their hearts to the Lord, it was the Lord's turn. And the Lord spoke to them, and spoke to them, verse 25 of Luke 24. See the importance of one word. Here these Emmaus disciples had unburdened their hearts to the Lord, and you notice the Lord never interrupted them once. See, the Lord's a good listener. He didn't interrupt those disciples. Then we read in verse 25, then he said, then. He didn't interrupt them. He let them unburden their hearts to him. Then he said, it was time for the Lord to speak. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And expounded the word to them, that what happened to Christ had been prophesied. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. You get the picture? These disciples come, as it were, to the front door of their home, and the Lord makes as though he's going to walk on. And they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, but he didn't go in until he was asked. They constrained him. He made as though he would have gone further. The perfect gentleman, isn't it? Everywhere you look, in the Lord Jesus, you see, he's a perfect gentleman. He waited until he was invited into Simon's house. Tell me, is he welcome in your house? Have you invited him already into your house, invited him to your home? I can make it a little more personal. Have you invited him into your heart? Have you said, Lord, come in today? Lord, come in today. Because if you have Christ in your heart, you'll have Christ in your home. But is he in your heart? Is he in your home? Why not today? If the Lord does not have a place in your heart, or the Lord does not have a place in your home, why not do what Peter did and bring the Lord home with you today? But not be good. Good to have the Lord, yes, in your heart, and good to have him in your home. Invite him in. Invite him in today. You'll never regret it. No, sir. We've noted then the Savior in Peter's home. The Savior in Peter's home. I want you now to notice the sickness in Peter's home. The Savior, you look at his earthly ministry, he was never very far away from those who were sick. No. He would either go to where the sick were found, or the sick would be brought to him. And here, as he entered Peter's house, he finds sickness there. Verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. So a few things I want to quickly notice about this, the Lord entering into Simon's house, and there a sick woman in that same house. Notice the place. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon. There's the place. You might say, well, what's out of the ordinary about that? But over in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Take note of those words. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. The synagogue. There was a multitude of people in the synagogue who listened to the Lord's teaching and preaching. There was a multitude in the synagogue. There were five or six in Simon's house. The Lord didn't think it beneath him to leave the multitude of people and go into a house that is no more than a half a dozen people. Bless the Lord. That's who he is. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Yes, he ministered to the multitude. But when the opportunity arose, he was with the two and the three. Look then, as another detail, following the Lord's ministry in the synagogue, Luke 4, verse 37. Luke 4, verse 37. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country, right about, and he arose out of the synagogue, entered into Simon's house. Oh, that way we're more like Christ. What does it say? The fame of him went out throughout every place in the country. The Lord didn't go and court the fame. He didn't go and look for fame. He turned his back on the fame that he might enter into the house of a common fisherman. Just ordinary people. That's one of the wonderful things about our Savior. That's who the Lord is. The Lord Jesus, as it were, feels at home with the common people. Not what we read. Mark 12, verse 37. And the common people heard him gladly. Just the ordinary Joe, as it were, as we would say, in the street. And here we see that the Savior felt at home and was at home with ordinary common people, common fishermen. And what an encouragement for those who feel they're too far down in this world. They're too weak and too lowly. The Lord wouldn't want anything to do with them. But that's a lie of the devil. And here we see the Lord entering into the home of common fishermen. Fishermen didn't have a very reputation in their day. Oh, they're only fishermen. But the Lord was happy to dwell with them. He's happy to dwell with any sinner that comes and seeks him. You notice the place. Just the house of a common fisherman. Notice the problem. Verse 30. The Lord entered Simon's, Peter's wife, and we read, but Simon's wife, mother, lay sick of a fever. And on they tell him of. There's much in that verse, there is. You look at the words. For Peter, entering that house, what he saw was a surprise. He was surprised to find his mother-in-law sick of a fever. How do I know? Look at how the verse begins. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Things were not as he expected. They in all probability had invited the Lord home to Peter's home for some food and fellowship. But Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And sometimes our problems take us by surprise. Something else. And with the verse here would indicate that the sickness was sudden. There is no indication that Peter was aware of the sickness of his mother-in-law there in her home. It had come suddenly. But Peter didn't bring the Lord into the house because his mother-in-law was sick. There's no indication of that. Indeed, when they entered into the house, we read, but it was like a surprise. It was sudden. His wife's mother was all right when he left the house, but now when he returns, sick of a fever. So, it was a surprise. It was sudden. It was severe. The sickness was severe. Mark tells of Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Luke 4, verse 38 tells us that she was taken with a great fever. Of course, we know Luke's the doctor. He gives us a little bit more detail. She lay of a great fever. And considering all of this about the suddenness and the surprise and the severity, think of it. What better person could Peter have invited into his house at that time than the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, I tell you, good to have Christ in your house when trouble comes your way. It's good to have Christ in your house when sickness comes your way. And Peter had Christ in the house when it was discovered his mother-in-law was taken with a great fever. We said that it was a surprise. You and I know. Sometimes our troubles can surprise us. We don't expect it. Sometimes our troubles can come upon us suddenly. And we can look upon our troubles as being severe. What do we do? What do those people do who don't have Christ in the home? How tough and how sad that is. But when you have Christ in the home, it's all the difference. It makes all the difference. You're not alone. So we've noticed the place, the problem. Next we see the prayer. The prayer, verse 30. The Peter's wife's mother lay sick of the fever, and anon they tell him of her. The word anon means straightway or immediately. Now you can see that Peter and the others wasted no time in praying for his mother-in-law. Look at the words of verse 30 again. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and immediately they tell him or her, don't waste any time. Don't waste any time. They spoke to him immediately, praying for her. Wonderful, isn't it? Yes. They had prayed to the Lord that he would heal Peter's mother-in-law. But there's another thought there. They came into the home. Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And they were burdened about it, and they told the Lord about it. But sure is not what we're able to do. We're able to cast all our burdens upon him. When you have Christ in the home, why, he's one of the family. We can go to him immediately and cast all of our burdens upon him. Those trials that come upon us suddenly and are severe, and they really shake us. I wonder, when Peter wrote his first epistle, I wonder, was he thinking about this incident in the house where his mother-in-law was healed by the Lord? For we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, isn't that what Peter and the others did? They cast all their care upon him. Notice something else. And on, they tell him of her. It didn't leave it to Peter to pray alone. They joined Peter praying for his wife's mother. What a comfort that is. What a comfort that is to know that when you're laid aside and you're unwell or you have other problems, and God's people let you know, we are praying for you. And the church prayer meeting comes midweek and your name is mentioned. Your name is on the lips of every prayer warrior at that prayer meeting. They prayed together for his mother-in-law. And thank God for God's people to pray together for those who are sick. Speaking first hand, that's a tremendous comfort. You're not alone. We must go quickly to the Savior in Peter's home, the sickness in Peter's home, then you have the service in Peter's home. The service, we'll just go through this quickly. Regarding the service in Peter's home, we notice first of all the Master. He was able to heal Peter's mother-in-law. He was master of that fever, whatever it was. But then that's who Christ is. He's the master. He's a master over all demons, all diseases, all difficulties, all disturbances. He is master above all. And this incident is not only recorded by Mark, by Matthew, and Luke. Boy, I tell you, if you're reading something in Mark, and it's in Matthew, Mark, or John, read their account as well. For when you do that, you get a more complete picture. Now listen to this. We read in Matthew, when the Lord entered the house, we read, he saw the woman. First thing he did, he saw the woman. Matthew 8, verse 14. Luke 4, verse 39. He stood over the woman. Mark 1, verse 31. He took her by the hand. Luke 4, 39. He rebuked the fever. Mark 1, 31. He lifted her up. Were you counting? He did five things. When he entered the house, he saw the woman, he stood over the woman, he took the woman, he rebuked the fever, he lifted her up. Five, the number of grace. All the grace of God. No wonder Newton described it as amazing grace. What was it delivered this woman? It was the grace of God. Grace. A charming sound. Peter's wife, mother-in-law. Amazing grace, charming sound that saved a life, a wretch like me. She could say, that lifted a wretch like me. That's who he is. How good it is when we are down that we have the grace of God to lift us up. In fact, that's what the Lord did. He took her by the hand, verse 31, and lifted her up. And if you're down and you're depressed, you're fed up, and you're burdened, praise the Lord, he'll lift you up. He lifted up this one, he lifted her up, and her burden was gone. The Master is the Master of all. The miracle. We read that immediately the fever left her. No, he didn't tell her, dear lady, you wait 2 or 3 days, you'll feel a bit better. Didn't say that. Immediately, the fever left her. My Lord doeth all things well. The fever left her. You can read, we'll not take time to read it now, but verses 23, 25, and 26, where he dealt with the man with the unclean spirit and healed him, and he was healed immediately. So you have the Master, the miracle, and the minister. that showed you what's a true miracle. Here was the evidence this poor woman had been healed. She lay sick, as Luke said, with a great fever. The Lord healed her, lifted her up, and she ministered unto them. Have you ever had a fever? Have you ever had a fever that has laid you low? You've gone to the doctor and you've got some medication. And for weeks, maybe months after, you have no strength. But this woman, the Lord lifted her up and she ministered unto them immediately. She was made whole. Why doesn't the Lord always do a good job? She was strong enough to minister unto them. She no sooner been healed than she starts to serve the Lord. Christ in the home. Good to have him there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Why, dear Lord, we thank thee for such a Savior. There is not a friend like the lowly thee. There is no Savior apart from Christ. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for all that thou hast done, for all thou hast done for us all here, with the banana side, unwell. Thy Lord hath been pleased to lift us up. Praise the Lord, thou hast lifted us up. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. May we take Christ home with us from this meeting. May we not forget him. May we not leave him behind. To take us home, his word home. And may our prayer be, and Lord, abide with me in my home. Be one of my number. Lord, be with us throughout this Sabbath day. Again, give everyone traveling mercy. Return us to thy house this evening, that we might learn more about our Savior. Then may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows do all flee away. Amen.